session number 3636, Mr. Malcolm Barker, Reel 8. Now, what recreational things were there for you?
You made your own. It was like cricket, football.
So there was sport. Tell us a bit about the sport.
Well, you could, what's the name? You were given, when the NAFI came around, they had like, you got playing cards, they'd have a ball, and you set up your own little team matches, tennis. One would wear a green T-shirt, one would wear a white T-shirt. Because Northamptonshire was into rugby, they had a rugby ball and all this business. And you done your own.
Did you play much sport?
I played rugby, yeah. I scored, believe it or not, I scored a goal between the posts from 25 yards out.
Kicked it over.
Yeah, it was the only one and the last one I ever done type of thing. It was just, and you had open air cinemas.
Now tell me about that, because what was an army, an open air cinema like?
Well, what it was is, this wagon would pull up, and they had a special name, I don't know what it was called, something to do with entertainment, and they would pull up, they would set up their screen on the side of a hill, projector at the back, you either sat on the ground or you sat on boxes, and they would play like Dorothy Moore, Alan Ladd, Veronica Lake, and all the singing songs, singing in the rain, and all this business type of thing. They did also have general stars coming out to see you.
Were the cinemas? I mean, was there what was it like set amongst the lads? I mean, did everyone watch it like in a cinema in England, or was there lots of chayaking?
Well, some chayaking and what's the name, and some smoking and what's the name. But it was funny sitting there in the open air with the stars above you and the wind whistling at your back, watching a film, because it broke the monotony, and cool, look, civilians, in the film, and towns and houses and cars and all that bit. And there was nobody walking around with ice creams and sweets and popcorn type of thing. You just, what's that? Sometimes they put on two reels. They put on a cowboy, and it was, charge, look out, he's behind you, and all this business. You know, it was quite...
What was the most popular sort of film? If the wild one,
I think it was a 50-50. Musicals, where you could know the songs, and the cowboys and Indians, and that was... We always class the Indians as the North Koreans and the cowboy as us, type of thing.
Now, you mentioned stars. Do you mean enter things?
Yes, yes.
What were they like then?
Well, they come out a stage and you'll have a couple of thousand or thousand old blokes sitting up the what's the name, they come on and big cheers. The ladies have come on with stockings, small costumes and cheers, wolf whistles. And nine times out of ten, the Yanks were always up the front and we was all at the back. I mean, Betty Gable come out there, Bob Hope came out there, Bing Crosby came, all of them. And that was put on about once a month, that used to be.
And what about any British stars you can remember? Well, Bob Hope's British, but, not really.
No, I can't offhand.
It's the American ones that stick in your mind.
Were
they good shows? I mean, Oh,
sing songs, yeah. You had comedians come out there and all that business. And they got you to sing along, and they'd have a screen up with the words on it so you could sing along with the words and all that business. Yeah, very good.
Any other entertainment that you could do?
No, not really, no.
Now, did you get... did you ever leave camp or did
yes,
you get to Japan?
Yeah.
Or I mean, either of those.
Yeah. One, I had a week at Incheon.
Is that back at the camp?
Back where we came from, Incheon, on the coast.
What was that like?
Well, actually...
Was it as a rest camp then?
Yes, it was a more churchy, put it that way. It was prayers in the morning. You was allowed to go out, but they advised you not to go to certain areas because there was naughty ladies there. Everybody that went there, that was in 54, yeah, 54. Everyone that went there got a small Bible, red Bible, to keep with them. And it was always put like Incheon, 1954. I've got it somewhere around the house, but where it is, I don't know. And you spent a week there. It was more of a rest.
Did you mind the religious element to it? Or
no, because I used to...
It was all right for you?
Yeah, yeah.
Because some people wouldn't like it, I mean, if you see what I mean.
But what we liked most of all was sleeping in clean beds, clean sheets, food laid out for you. You could go out. I know blokes went out and visit various places, of ill repute, put it that way, type of thing. But being an naive lad, not too sure... And seeing the films and the warnings, you think... So, of course, Then also, after you'd been out there about 6 months in Korea, you went to Japan.
Now tell me about that, because that some people found that quite an exciting experience.
It was. I mean, we've been there six months type of thing. Well, put it this way, in the winter out there, you didn't shave because it tore your face when you shaved with the water in it. So been out there 6 months, right. Notice goes up on the board. R&R, these people report to headquarters. You will have your passes done and you would, be going out. They'll tell you what to take. Oh, cool, going to Japan. But they didn't tell us how you was going to get there. The Americans flew there in Dakotas. We went by two converted fishing smacks. The Isang and the Wosang. And they were fishing, and it was rough going across from Korea to Japan.
What was it like?
Put it this way, it was up and down, and I've said to Molly to this day, I'll never forget it. We was playing Howsy Howsy or Bingo. We had a webinar and all this business, and small packs and that. And took them off, played Howsy Howsy, and I won. So I said, right, lads, beers all round. We had kippers, salty potatoes, mushy peas, rice and jam. And that boat was really rocking. And I set the scoop, and Roy paused in him. I said, hey, Sidney, you look a bit green. I said, I do feel a little. So a couple of blokes have already gone up, and the boat was lurching up and down and rocking from side to side. I said, I've got to go up there because it was a bit stuck. I thought, I've got to go up there. I was up there, I was hanging over the side, and lucky enough, Scoop Medell, who we got quite pally with type of thing, came up, he said, you all right? I went, ooh, over the, and as I went over the side, the boat lurched, and I was half over the boat, he grabbed me with him, pulled me back, and he said, I think you better stay on deck, and I was wet, I was cold, and I felt a bit better on deck. Then we landed in a Curie. We was taken by bus. There was 30 of us taken by bus to this camp. When we arrived at this camp, you thought you was going into the Astoria Hotel in London. First class. Everything was clean. There was grass. The apple trees were in blossom. The Japanese were walking about in their sarongs. And so we goes into this camp. Shows us, when we walked into the room, it was single beds. There was pillowcases, pillars, white sheets, blankets, lockers, hot showers. Of course, we still had our old combat gear on coming from Korea. So they said, right, there'll be a meal laid on for you. Go to the canteen. When we walked up, when we looked at these people, they was all nice, clean, pressed, smartly. They looked at us as though we was tramps. So, there was RAF people there, Navy people, MPs. So, as we're going up these steps, the MP said, can't come here with dressed like that, mate. So, our corporal said, well, we'll just come back from Korea. We've been in Korea for 6 months. I don't care where you've been, he said. You're not coming in here dressed like that. So, he said, well, this is all the clothes we've got. So he had a word with somebody, and when we went into this dining room, there was tables laid out, white tablecloths, there was china cups, plates, knives, forks, spoons, Japanese ladies dressed all in whites, there was our blokes dressed all in whites, there was jugs of water or lemonade on the table. When you walk round, you've never seen a display. There was boiled potatoes, there was cream potatoes, there was cooked vegetable, there was steaks, there was roast lamb, roast beef, sweets. We just couldn't believe it. And the bloke says, you look a bit rough. So I said, yeah, we've just come over from Korea. He said, blow that for a lark. He said, the only reason I'd go to Korea is to get a medal and come back again type of thing. So then they said, some top knob was coming around. So they said, we want you to do a guard of honour. So our corporal said, well, how can we do a guard of honour dressed like this? Right, he said, take your blokes down to the stores, go to the barber shop have your hair cut, a good shave, goes down there and was given brand new uniforms, all thick and furry, and hats that stood on your head like pork pies, and you had to knock them down. Come back, of course, when this brigadier came round, he was talking to some blokes, and he spotted us, and he come over and said, "Are you the lads that have come from Korea?" So he said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I've not been there yet." He said, "That's my next trip." So one of the blokes said, "Hope you've got your long johns on, sir. It's a bit cold out there." He said, "Thank you very much." So one of the officers standing there said, "Take his name, Sergeant Major. Take his name. We'll see to him later." So the brigadier said, "No, it's all right," he said. He said to the sergeant major, "Have you ever been to Korea?" "No, sir," he said. "I've been stationed in Hong Kong and Japan." He said, "Well, when you go to Korea, you might understand what they're talking about." He said, "Hope you enjoy your stay." So he said, "Yes, it's just like an hotel until we get back properly." And we was there 10 days.
What did you do? I mean, did you just hang around the camp in Korea or did you get out and about?
Yeah, we was allowed to go out, see the site. They took us to Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Now, what was that like? I mean, it's not long after the event, was it?
It was, put it this way, it was eerie. It was quiet. No birds. But when they took us round, we went round with a guard. They showed us the old kind of church or building that's still there this day. And they showed us a seat where there was a figure dress implanted, a small burnt thing of a child implanted, and probably their father there. And it was etched into the concrete as though it was transferred onto the concrete. They told you about people melting, girders melting, people still dying with cancer and burns and all this business. And it was a bit horrific type of thing, you know.
And you went to both?
And Nagasaki, yeah. That was more flattened because being there, their wooden houses and that, everything burnt. They did show us a bit of a film where they showed you the bomb going off and trees and houses just swaying over and concrete seemed to melt, trucks and cars or whatever just blew away, then there was nothing type of thing.
Anything else you did on that leave?
We went down to the local boozer type of thing, and while we was there, we met up with some New Zealanders and Australians. "Oh, the POMs have arrived," they said. "I don't suppose you've got much money, have you?" We said, "No, very little." I said, "We only get £2 a week." £2 a week? Out, they tried to work it out in their money. I said, "Bloody hell, mate." He said, "You're underpaid, aren't you?" So I said, "What do you get?" He said, "We get 15, equivalent to your £15 a week. What do you get? Combat active service money. £10 a month. We get £100 a month." And it was stuff. "Don't worry about it. You're our guest." And they supplied us, kept us wasn't. We said, "When we get our money, no, don't insult us. Maybe one of these days you'll emigrate and come over to us." So he says, "Don't come down on Monday because the Americans are arriving by troop ship." So I said, "Well, what difference does that make?" He said, "Well, it will go up 70 to 90% when the Americans arrive, because them daft buggers have got the money. And guarantee, when the boat came in, the prices shot up. Now, every bar you went into, the tables were screwed to the floor, the chairs were screwed to the floor. And 9 times out of 10, you had kind of plastic cups to drink out of because of... And you can guarantee that night, there was a punch-up, MPs flying everywhere. The Australians always had their little own little drinking holes. And in come the next... "Hello, boys. Hello, girls. We're buying." And they used to say, "Off you go. This is our..." "You can't say that. We're here. We've done this." He said, "Yeah, I suppose you won the First World War, the Second World War." He said, "But you haven't won this one yet, are you?" He said, "Because it's a stalemate." That was before Vietnam. And that's how it went on. Then we were back to Korea again then.
But you didn't go to Tokyo at all?
No, no.
And then how did you get back? On the boat again?
Wo sang, yes.
Now, what happened when you got back? Anything changing? You still on the hook or at the bottom of the hook, rather?
I camped at the bottom of the hook. There was one incident now. We got back and they was having trouble again with the peace talks. Orders ready standby. And we had a new draft come out. New young lads come out. What's that? So what they done, they buddy-buddied, put you with a new chap, and a new chap was in your group, and You talked him through things, told him where to go, where not to walk and all this. So, and the order was nobody was to go down to the village, because in the villages they used to make a potato wine. It was potato skins and all fermented and all that business. Plus they also used to make a kimchi. That is greens and vegetables. Put in the ground for 3 months to fermentate, and it was hot. And you used to get this in the winter. It was like, how can you say, like drinking methylate or eating methylate. It was very strong, but it warmed your whole body. So I was told not to go down there, because when you drank this potato wine, if you was to get up in the morning and drink a glass of water, you would be drunk again. It stayed in your system. So unbeknown to us, we had a bloke with us, Nunley. Nice bloke. He was a regular. But he loved his booze. Whenever he could get a booze, he even tried making his own still at one time. So unbeknownst, we're on guard, and he's gone down to the local village. Knocked his hooch back. Righto, lads, stand to, take your positions. Everybody was spread out around the camp. We was on the main track up to us, the road, with the barrier down, barbed wire spread across. Bunkers fully manned. I'm on the front gate with this young lad and a couple of others. And there, sometimes they used to get wild deer roaming about, rustling in the trees, and you didn't know whether it was a person. You also got these bullocks. So we're standing there, all of a sudden, crash, bang. A few words come out. I said, "Guard, Commander, what is it?" I said, "Saint, about 100 yards down there." I said, "I see." Because it was a fairly, not too dark, but you could distinguish. I said, "The bushes and the trees are moving." Right, he said, "Stand to, everybody." Because we had no information. None of our lads were out, because you normally, if you're going out, you sign a book. Get the book, nobody's out. We're all on standby. So this young lad was told by the sergeant to shout out, "Halt, who goes there? We are British. Halt, who goes there? We are British and armed. Halt, who goes there? If you don't stop, we will fire." So automatically, safety gets off, bullet up the spout, standing there. We thought, what the bloody hell's going on there? Right, red alert, everybody stand to. And this young lad next door to me was a bit jumpy. So, right, he said, safety gets on, one round, load. So, whoosh, whoosh. He said to this young bloke, I forget what his name was now, he said to him, "You give the challenge." He went, "Oh," he said, "shout. Oh, who goes there?" He said, "British Army. Approach and be recognised." "Oh, who goes there?" "British Army." Bang. He fired before the third warning. And we heard, oh, he said, I think I've shot somebody. And he wet his pants, which is understandable. Everybody's going to. So, right. And then it's, oh, and all of a sudden he said, "You silly buggers, it's me, Nunley." So, of course, barbed wire is removed, up goes the barrier. I mean, he's a big bloke, about tall as you, and thin, but a brilliant cook, absolutely brilliant. So, "What silly so-and-so shot me?" He got shot in the shoulder. "What silly so-and-so shot me?" So, "You're not supposed to be out. He's drunk, he's all over the place." Managed to get him back. Of course, Nathaniel Golder, company sergeant, comes up and says, "What's all this? What's all the shooting about?" So who done it? So the young lad said, "Afraid it was me, so I didn't give him the third warning." He said, "Take his name." He said, "What'll happen to me?" I said, "Probably your first time nervous. You'll probably get a couple of days in the cookhouse, not too bad." So we get Nunley back, and he's also angry, drunk. And he's like 10 men in one. So he said, Nathaniel Gold goes up to him. He says, "Come on now. Come on, Nunley," he says. "Let's get you seen to the first aid." He says, "I like you," he said. "You're like a dad to me, Nat." He said, "Company Sergeant Major to you." He said, "I couldn't call you Company Sergeant." He said, "You're like my dad, Nat." And I mean, he's 5 foot high. Nunley's over 6 foot, and he put his arm around him. And bloke went to get hold of his arm to move him. and he swung this bloke, knocked this bloke on the ground. It kind of, you get hyperactive with this drink. So, of course, they said, subdue him. It took 6 hours to hold him down. So, why a company side made us talking to him? He rolls over and we all go down this monsoon ditch. So does the company sergeant major. It was muddy and all. Extra people needed. So finally got him back. Got to the first stage base. And he went out like a light. The bullet went straight through his shoulder, lucky enough. And it was name. Took him to the medevac, brought him back. Goes in front of the company sergeant major. We all had to go as witnesses. And he says to him, do you take my punishment? Or do you want to go to higher authority? So he said, well, what happens if I go to higher authority? He said, you could be have 6 months in prison. He said, or you could have 10 days at Seoul prison. I'll take yours, sir. Right. Sentence you 10 days in the prison. And I don't know if you ever saw the film The Hill with Sean Connery. Until we knew, when we load him up, gets him in there, got rifles. And it was a kind of a, looked like an old fort, but you could see it was a military prison. Everything was white. And the blokes who were running were called Vandoos, French Canadians. And they mainly spoke French. When we arrived, unloaded him, this bloke come up, big burly bloke, big moustache. Who is the prisoner? I said, him. Him who? Him, sergeant. Right. Run round the square, he said. Rifles above your head. You would learn to address by rank. So we're running round here. We thought, where was the prisoners? So we're standing there. So he said, right. What's your name? He said, Private. Private Nunny what? He said, we'll knock you into shape, lad. Kind of French, wasn't it? That went by 10 days, go to pick him up. Well, in there, apparently, because he was a cook, they put him in a cookhouse. He'd done something wrong, so they put him on bread and water for 2 days. And never laid on a bed. It was kind of like a concrete block. But they had to scrub it, all the kit was scrubbed white, stand to attention, and they doubled everywhere, just like, what's the name? He was telling us. So, this went on. And he was so angry, he said to this sergeant, you want, no, take it away, he said. So Nunley went and ate his food. Starving. This sergeant come back an hour later, where is my meal? I've had it. They took him in the cell and gave him a working over. But they mainly done round the midway with rubber pipes, he was telling us. So we went down to pick him up. When he come out, he was ramrod, his helmet was white, all his weapon was white. And he said, yes, sir. No, sir. We said, it's us, Nanny. Yes, sir. No, sir. Until he got outside the gate. When he got outside the gate, he said, if I ever get into trouble again and go back there, he said, shoot me. I'm not going back there. He said, I could have hung myself. So, of course, after that, they shipped him back home to England type of thing. And that was what's happened. And the other incident that while we was out there was, my mate Stanley Harper, because he was left arm, left leg margin, he was back squatted, so he came out later. And fell down a monsoon ditch, this was getting on towards Christmas, broke his shoulder and that. And out there, in the winter time, things wouldn't, if you broke a bone or it wouldn't knit, they'd either send you to Japan or back home. Because we was on our last bit of the tour, coming home in the new year, Lieutenant Spooner said, we're going out to patrol, check barbed wire, check the minefields. He said, Private Harper, go down and get my pistol, will you? He said, we're already standing outside the stores, loading up with grenades and bullets and flares. And we'd brought some old weapons back into the stores. And this blooming store bloke, I forget what his name was now, was firing into sandbags. Of course, when Stanley went in there to get his platoon commander's pistols, he must have startled him, because as he turned round, he fired his gun. Came staggering out the tent, Stanley. Big gash in his neck, blood pumping out of him, because he'd done his, what's that? And he dropped down in front of us. Well, mainly that's the first time we've seen somebody shot, injured. And it made us weaker at the knees and kind of sick. And the medic, young medic bloke, come up, done best he could, but he died within 3 minutes in front of us. I never forgot that. So what we was done, we were stood down because of the incident, and another platoon went out. We had the guard, the bloke that shot him in the tent, because you had a little tent which was called the kind of jail house, we called it, like. We had to guard him, we took his bootlaces, his belt, his tie, and all that was given was a spoon for his meals. One stood inside the tent, one outside the tent, and he had somebody in him every 24 hours. And I can't remember what this bloke was. But we'd done that, he was taken away, he was court-martialed, and he was sent home. In between time, Stan's laying in his coffin. We guarded the tent with his coffin on. Then we took his body to a cemetery where you put him there. Then they, what's that? And we've done a Guard of Honor over Stan's cemetery. And I think that is the thing that always sticks in my mind. Stanley, you know, inoffensive bloke. We'd give him cards and bits and pieces to take home to post to our families, you know, and all that went by the ball type of thing.
Did you get, I should have asked you before, did you get letters and parcels?
Yes, yes.
Can you tell me about that? I mean, how important was it to you?
Oh, very important, because there was no telephones then. There was no mobile phones then. And there was nowhere where you could go down, turn the phone up, because a lot of homes and houses never had telephones. They was mainly in an airmail form, because of the weight. You did get Christmas parcels, such as cakes and bits of clothing. And I mean, I've had scarves knitted by my mum and my sisters. I've had gloves and all that business. All things like that. Somebody would send out a game and everything like that. No alcohol or anything was allowed to come by the post. But it was mainly sweets, books, comics, and all stuff like that. And it was regular.
And what would you write? What would you write backwards and forwards to each other? Because what is there to write? Were you
set? Well, mum would say, hope you're okay. Hope you're safe. Hope the peace still stays. Hope you come back safely, all the boys, to us. And I would write back, very cold. If a monkey was here, we wouldn't have anything. I could, by that time, then I was getting used to reading and writing. And we got food is very good, because you couldn't say whether it was bad or not. Food's very good, still very cold. Just had a new issue of warm clothing, which helps. Been downtown. Well, when I put been downtown, it meant I'd been out on a patrol, because you couldn't say went out on a patrol, just said went downtown. I mean, mum, because on the earlier note, if I put in been downtown, that means we've been out on a patrol. Been downtown, everything was okay. Getting taller, feet getting bigger, be home soon. We had a small accident here. The rest of the boys are okay. We'll tell you about it when we come home, type of thing.
And they were important to you, that, this letter?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Now, what about the Christmas celebration? We just covered that before we finished. What do you remember? Was there anything special?
Yes, believe it or not, same as in Germany. At Christmas time, I mean, I was in the... They asked me, would I help in the cookhouse, because it was... So, on a Christmas day, the officers and NCOs would come to the cookhouse early for tea, gunfire. But you never got out of bed. It was brought to you by the officers and NCOs. They would come in, morning chaps, happy Christmas. And when you saw an officer come up, where's your mug? Pour your would you like a splice of rum? And the sergeant major said, anybody that don't want the rum, just put it in another cup and I'll collect it later. So, and they come around all the tents and all the men. And you go down to the tent. The trestles were laid out. There would be turkey, potatoes and all this business, soup, even soup, sweet, and the officers would serve you. They would stand there and serve you. Then they would wish you all a Merry Christmas. There would be a can of beer on the table for you, a tin of fags and sweets and all. Then they would say, gentlemen, have a nice Christmas. Don't forget, you're still on duty. Don't get too drunk. Enjoy yourself. See you in the morning. And then they would go off and have their, what's that?
So you had a good time.
That was a good Christmas, that was, yeah.